the guy who got fired for saying nigger in a woodpile, Christopher, who? Bartlett was this poor bastard's name. Poor Christopher Bartlett. The guy was, and he was new to America, okay? And he was an Australian, as I remember, and he was a very intelligent guy and a very traveled man. And he had a lot, uh-oh, the hotline's going. Am I not supposed to reference this? So he had, he was a nice guy, and he was a world-traveled man, and had a great deal of intelligence, and a lot to say about a lot of things. Well, what happened was, one night he was on the air, and he was doing, I think, 6 to 9 in those days. They had some screwball shift like that. It was like 6 to 9 or 7 to 10, something like that. So he's on the air one night, and he says, he uses a phrase that my understanding is it's common in such forward-thinking countries as Australia and Great Britain. The phrase is nigger in the woodpile. And what is the one we use over here? Oh, we use that phrase too? Oh, okay. We just say nigger, okay. So in any event, and pardon me for, I'm not trying to be gratuitous, but this is exactly what happens, so please forgive me. But he said this, and somebody called and said, excuse me, sir, but that kind of phraseology is not acceptable in our society. And I think, I'm not sure, but I think Christopher said to him, oh, I never used that. I didn't say it. So he denied having said it. And that's probably what got him in more trouble than actually using the phrase. If he could have just very gracefully said, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the culture here, and I forgive me, I shouldn't have used a phrase like that. It was very regrettable, blah, 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 and all that's, you know, generally grovel and prostrate yourself, or, you know, do a prostate check. And generally bend over is what I'm saying, so that the audience knows that you feel very deeply saddened and wounded by all of it, even though you really don't. Well, he didn't do that. And as a result, he was terminated from the radio station. And I don't think Christopher's popped up on another radio station since. He probably had all he could stand of the radio business those 6, 7, 8 months that he was on the air here, or however long it was. Christopher Bartlett, I'll never forget. He was a nice man. But that little episode effectively ended his broadcasting career. And I think he went back to what it was he was doing before, directing movies. Like making money. So we had Barbara DeAngelis, we had Rush Limbaugh, we had Christopher Bartlett, and a whole bunch of other guys that are still kicking around town, huh? Mother Love! She was a riot. What happened to her? TV? I've never seen her on TV. What has she done? Forgive or Forget? What's that, a cooking show? Mother Love. I thought she was a very talented lady, and she was from Cleveland, and her real name was Joanne something, and a nice lady, too. And she'd run up to you and hug you, Mother Love. Oh, Phil, she'd run up and hug you. And, I let her hug me. What, you didn't let her hug you? She was always a very affectionate lady. And she was there, too, Mother Love. She was doing 10 to 2 here at night, the Tim and Neil shift. And the next thing I heard, she got some TV offer, and this is what always happens. And I guarantee it ain't going to happen to me for a couple of reasons. Number one, nobody's going to offer me a TV show. Number two, even if they did and I decided to take it, then I would just have to force myself into doing my radio show and the TV show too, because I ain't checking out of this gig, man. This is the day job here. I ain't leaving my radio gig because somebody says they're going to offer me a big, big money talk show that they cancel 3 weeks later. So that I can sit on my rear end on a beach someplace, yes, maybe in a $5 million home, but nonetheless, it hurts. So that's what happened, and it happens a lot. So Mother Love got offered some TV thing, and she quit. Isn't that right, Mike? She quit. And she went off and... Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I was just talking to Los Angeles, and we're on our network now, and I'll just let you guys in on a little family gossip going on here at our radio station in Los Angeles. Last night, Tim Kelly didn't show up for his shift here. We have the Tim and Neil show between 10 and 2. Turns out he overslept. And not only did he oversleep, he slept through 6 alarms. They had an alarm clock. He had 6 alarm clocks. He's got a light that he slept all the way through the show. So the fact is, and exactly what happened was, Neil went to his house and had to kick the door in. on the air. He's on his cell phone kicking the door in on Tim's house to try to find, you know, what the hell's up with this guy. He completely slept through the whole thing. Apparently he's been sick. He's had this cold. I haven't gotten this thing. It must be bad. That's never happened to me. Now, I've been late plenty of times, but I don't think I've ever slept through. Well, yes, I have slept through a shift. I sleep through most of them. Okay, so anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. And the news, I thought, terribly disturbing news came from England today that former Beatle George Harrison was attacked in his home on Thursday when a knife-wielding intruder described as hating the band stabbed him in his 120-room mansion. Now, that's the story that we've got here that we got off the wire just minutes ago. But you should see what was moving earlier in the day with regard to the George Harrison story. This is what I got this morning at 10:30. George Harrison was hospitalized today after an intruder stabbed him multiple times in the chest. The story is that he was stabbed once. That's the most recent news. This morning, they said that his wife, Olivia, was hit over the head by the intruder. Now the story comes out, and the real news is she hit the guy over the head. She clobbered this clown with a lamp. Good for you. And she was not hospitalized, as this morning it said she was. And we move on to some other little bits of news here. Taste in music, according to one of the police inspectors, taste in music is pretty far down the questions police initially ask a suspected murderer, according to this guy Bailey, who is I think he was a police inspector. Well, now we find out, that was this morning at 10:30, now we find out it should have been one of the first questions they asked the guy. Do you like the Beatles? No, I don't. That's why I stabbed him. Okay, good. The first question I should have asked this cat. The man was identified as Michael Abram, and the Liverpool Echo said his mother had told the newspaper her son suffered from mental health problems and had recently become obsessed with the Beatles. This obsessing with the Beatles has got to stop. It really has got to end. It is now transcending generation. It is now transcending year. It is crossing the line from one generation to the next. 1969, we had Charlie Manson getting goofy on Helter Skelter. In 1980, we had Mark David Chapman getting whacked out on Beatle lyrics. And now we got this nutcase getting obsessed with the Beatles. I consider myself to be a fairly involved fan of the band. I have their music. I've followed their career. I've read some books about them. There's nothing that they have ever done, no lyric that they have ever sung, no song they've ever constructed that has motivated me to do anything more than get up and turn it up or down. But not to kill somebody or otherwise act in an antisocial way. So there you go. But I guess I'm healthy. His mother said he was obsessed with the... he takes all music literally. It is the Beatles at the moment, but a few weeks ago it was Oasis. Now, if you want to take a knife to a guy, why not... Oh, I'm just kidding. He's been running in pubs shouting about the Beatles. Mom, when your son runs into a pub shouting about the Beatles and he hadn't had anything to drink yet, you might want to call, I don't know, somebody, medevac someone. Make a phone call. Help your kid. My son's been running in and out of pubs shouting about the Beatles, and he's stone-cold sober. I think there's a phone call there to whatever, you know, suicide help hotline something. He hates them, and he believes they're witches, and he takes their lyrics seriously. Absolutely. Me too. Police said it was unlikely burglary was the motive for the attack on Harrison. It's by chance that it was not more serious, said chest surgeon William Fountain at Harefield Hospital, because apparently the blade missed George Harrison's heart by just inches. What is very clear here is that this was quite a vicious attack on George Harrison and his wife, according to DCI Ewan Reed, told a news conference outside the Gothic-style mansion. Hospital spokesman said Harrison, who suffered a single stab wound, certainly hasn't lost his sense of humor. Apparently, he made a comment that the guy wasn't necessarily auditioning for the Traveling Wilburys. There were unlikely to be long-term health problems, and the former Beatle could be home in time for New Year's Eve, he said. Well, how serious could that be, then? You get a blade, goes into your chest, and misses your heart by inches. It's a 7-inch blade. That's not serious? That's going to get you out of the hospital in a day? Good God. How deep did it go? It must have been superficial. Maybe it wasn't anything at all. Maybe it was a fight with him and his old lady. Maybe they made it up. Neighbors describe the building as Fort Knox, where George Harrison lives, because it was guarded by 24-hour surveillance, dog patrols, and 10-foot-high barbed wire-topped fences. Well, looks like he did all he could do. I got to run out and get me one of them barbed wire fences and some dogs. And what else did this guy have? 24-hour surveillance. He's got guys walking the grounds like it's something out of Godfather Part 2. He's got Sonny and Curly and Tony, all the guys down at the gate, playing catch. They got the big lump in their jacket. They're eating sandwiches. They got sawed-off shotguns. And some nutcase from Liverpool crawls into his bedroom and puts a knife in his chest. Sonny and the boys have gone to the mattresses, and this guy gets in through a window and puts a knife in George Harrison's chest. Harrison, the Beatles' lead guitarist, lived for many years in the shadow of Lennon and McCartney and was rated a major musician in his own right only after the so-called Fab Four broke up. During the group's reign, the youngest Beatle became devoted to Oriental mysticism and persuaded the other Beatles to go to India and sit at the feet of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. A spokesman for the Beatles' record company, Apple, said McCartney, Lennon's widow Yoko Ono, and Beatle drummer Ringo Starr had all been advised of the attack. I want you to know, Ringo, that now George got stabbed. John's dead. George has been stabbed. You're next. Like the other Beatles, Harrison came from a working-class family in Liverpool in northwest England. He was born on February 25th, 1943, yada, yada. So there it is, starting in 1962. Then it just goes on to some biographical information. So, but like I said, the people in Liverpool, I didn't meet one of them that liked the Beatles. I didn't meet a one that had anything good to say about them. And why those guys went back there to live is anybody's guess. I think one of them's got a big house there. How much time he spends it. You notice Harrison doesn't live in Liverpool. Lennon wasn't living there. He was living in New York. I don't know where the other two guys are living. Because they can't stand it. Because they couldn't stand the place. And they couldn't get out of there fast enough. They went to Germany, made their initial success in Hamburg, came back to Liverpool, played the Cavern Club, got discovered. The rest is, as you know, the rest is what it is. A whole lot of zeros. McCartney's got a house in Santa Barbara. They're going to go back to Liverpool because the place is a dour, dark, stinky, stank place. This guy with no real estate agent. It's a nutcase running into pubs, shouting about the Beatles, stone cold sober, and then running out, hailing a cab, getting in it, going down to another pub, and screaming about the Beatles. And his mother probably thought it was just youthful enthusiasm. It's probably something his old man did. Okay, it's the Phil Hendry Show at 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Let's see. We have a variety of people holding on to talk. One of them considers himself to be a big Beatle fan, and he thinks that Paul McCartney is dead. Let's go to this gentleman. Hi, you're on the air, sir. Hello? Riverside, hello?
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Yes, I was speaking to your screener about my belief that Paul McCartney is dead. I want to join with everyone around the world, though, to say that I'm so very sorry about what happened to George Harrison today, and I am a very big Beatle fan. I've loved their music since I was young.
And why do you think Paul McCartney is dead? We have John Lennon is dead, correct? Yeah, John Lennon's dead. Why do you think Paul McCartney is dead?
Well, I think that there are some significant clues that the band gives, and I think the clues are pretty obvious, and I think it's been going on for a long time. I don't know why. They have perpetrated this for the amount of time that they have. But I do think that Paul McCartney is dead. I do believe that he died sometime in the late 1960s. And I believe that the man who has been traveling as Paul McCartney is an imposter who is constructed or paid or fronted by the group and by the record company to continue Mr. McCartney's career in order to keep McCartney's family from his royalties.
Okay. Now this is some way out stuff here. You say that you have clues that point to this, but you realize that we're out here in Yeti territory now, okay? And UFOs.
Well, listen to this, and you tell me. You make up your own mind. I have a large collection of their music. I have not only their studio work, but I also have bootleg tapes. I have bootleg albums, and I have some fragments of live sessions that they've done here in the United States and in Europe before they became well known. I have gone over a number of their albums. I've looked at a lot of the cover art on their albums, and I believe that Paul McCartney is dead for a couple of reasons.
Well, give me the clues that you say are there.
All right, sir. On the cover of Abbey Road, if you look at the cover of Abbey Road, the four band members are walking across the street. One of the band members is barefoot, and that is Paul McCartney. In Italy, individuals are interned or buried without wearing shoes. They are in suits only. Paul McCartney is barefoot.
All right. Okay, that proves that he's dead, huh?
No, sir. That doesn't prove that he's dead. But that is one clue in many. At the end of the album, at the end of the song "Strawberry Fields Forever," there is a very, very clear voice saying, "I buried Paul."
At the end of what song?
At the end of "Strawberry Fields Forever."
I buried Paul.
Yes, sir. In the song "Glass Onion," John Lennon sings the following line: "Quote, here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul." If you go to the cover of Magical Mystery Tour, the four members of the group are dressed in different animal costumes, the walrus being Paul, and he is in a crucifixion pose on the cover of the album Magical Mystery Tour.
And what do you mean by a crucifixion pose? He has his arms spread out?
He has his arms spread out almost in the pose of a man who's hanging from a cross. Cover of Abbey Road, there is a woman's leg, and next to her leg is a wall. On the wall are dots, and the dots are connected to show the number three. Meaning
three Beatles?
Meaning three Beatles, right. On the sergeant...
Okay, let me ask you something here before we get any further into this, sir. And what is your name?
Phil, my name is Don Bell.
Don Bell?
Yes.
Okay, and you live in where?
I reside in San Dimas, California. I'm calling from my office right now, though, in West Los Angeles.
Okay, you are saying to me that Paul McCartney has been dead for over 30 years based upon these clues that you say you've covered up, that you've uncovered. He's barefoot on the cover of Abbey Road. The walrus was Paul. What was the other thing? There's something at the end of a song?
Yes, at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, someone says the words, "I buried Paul."
At the end of Strawberry Fields?
That is correct.
Why, first of all, do you believe he's dead just based on those clues?
Because I think it is you're talking about the Beatles, a group that introduced so many innovations to music. I believe this whole idea of backward masking was probably started by them. If you go to Revolution Number 9, which is a sort of a collage on the White Album, Number 9 is repeated over and over again on that track. If you play that backwards, you hear very distinctly the words, "Turn me on, dead man."
Turn me on, dead man.
That is correct.
How did he die?
I believe he died in an automobile accident.
Why?
Because there is, on one of the early recordings, and I don't have it here, but we enhanced by dropping out along the low end on the recording, the sound of an automobile crash or the sound of a car crashing.
And you think that Paul McCartney died in an automobile accident in the late 1960s?
Yes, I do.
And you're telling me that the Beatles purposefully drop clues into their music to let people know about that?
I believe that that's their way of letting the listeners in on the death of Paul McCartney without coming right out and saying it. Because, again, I think they had a record company that did not want to pay out royalties to Mr. McCartney's relatives and family. The record company wanted to hold on to as much of the money as they possibly could. And so the Beatles, in their way, were trying to let the world know that Paul McCartney was, in fact, dead.
And what about Linda McCartney? Who are all these people that this so-called imposter, who I imagine you're saying is being paid by the Beatles?
No, I don't think he's being paid by the Beatles. I think he's being paid by the record company. I think that Linda McCartney is not dead at all. I think she has dropped out of sight because...
You don't think that Linda McCartney is dead?
No, I do not. I think Linda McCartney dropped out of sight because she got tired of perpetrating this fraud, and so she has dropped out of sight. And the record company has portrayed this to be that she's dead. So I think that, and she would have been the only one who could have proven the fact that Paul McCartney was indeed not dead, or was indeed dead, I should say.
So Linda McCartney might have blown the whistle on the whole scam, and so they had her drop out of sight.
I think she voluntarily left. She can't say anything about it, but she voluntarily got out of sight, and they constructed a backstory about her death. On the cover of Magical Mystery Tour, I mentioned that, on Sgt. Pepper's, Phil, if you look at the album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yes, sir.
You will see that Paul McCartney is wearing a black carnation. That is also a clue. On the back of that same album, the three Beatles are facing the camera. There is one Beatle with his back turned.
That's Paul.
That is Paul McCartney. That's right. So I think that there is more than just coincidental evidence here. I think there's more than just a coincidence of events and images. I think this is a carefully constructed, or was a carefully constructed plan by other members of the group to show that Paul McCartney was in fact dead, and was the person who took his place is an imposter.
Well, the imposter would have to be in on this, letting people in on it, because he's the guy with his back turned, right?
That is correct, yes. And obviously he was convinced by the other members of the group.
Okay, Don, hold on, all right? I'm going to get the phone numbers. We'll be right back, all right?
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. We're talking to a guy who thinks Paul McCartney is dead, and he mentioned some clues that he's found from his music and the Beatles albums. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So we started this show talking about this dastardly attack on George Harrison and his wife in his home. I have a man on the line, Don Bill. I mispronounced his last name. Don Bill, and he is from San Dimas. Now, he's talking to me about his belief that Paul McCartney is, in fact, dead, and has been dead for how long, sir?
I believe Mr. McCartney died in the mid to late 1960s.
Linda McCartney, this imposter Paul McCartney's wife, gained a great deal of notoriety in this band Wings.
I think that Linda McCartney was married to Paul McCartney, and then he died. And to keep her quiet, they gave her a little bit of fame in Wings, so that she would be...
They gave her a membership in the band Wings to do what? To shut her up?
To shut her up, that's right. And I believe that that was done because she was obviously going to, maybe turn the tables publicity-wise on him and leak out some of the information. So I think that if you put all of these...
Well, let's look at these clues. You're saying that Paul McCartney, at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, is a voice that says, "I buried Paul." He's in bare feet on the cover of Abbey Road. That's how the Italians bury their dead, in bare feet. You have the number 3 on the cover of Abbey Road, signifying the three Beatles. You say that on one of the records is the sound of a car crashing. In Glass Onion, John says what?
In Glass Onion, John says, "Here's another clue for you all. The walrus was Paul." And then you go to the cover of Magical Mystery Tour, and you see the figure of Paul McCartney in a crucifixion pose.
As if he's been hung from a cross.
Yes, yes, exactly. He also has a black carnation in his lapel.
Inside the cover of Sgt. Pepper's?
Inside the cover, yes. So I think you put all these things together, and there's a lot of explaining I think some of these Beatles have got to do, and in other words, they're making a lot of us look a little foolish.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800. I was hoping that we could get a hold of the song Sgt. Pepper's, but this being a talk station, we don't have any music that you can't use for bumpers. Here is Memphis on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just wanted to call and let this guy know that I'm sitting here looking at the cover of the Sgt. Pepper's thing, and it's a red carnation.
Okay, are
it's
you looking on
black.
The inside? Are you looking on the inside?
Yeah.
Okay, when you open up the album, you see the four of them, a very large photograph of the four of them?
Uh-huh.
Okay. That was originally a black carnation. It was originally a black carnation. The cover art was taken back and airbrushed by the record company. But if you get a hold of the original Sgt. Pepper's album cover issued 1967, all the way on up through 1972, that carnation is black.
Yeah, I'm sure you got an answer for everything, dude. I mean, pretty much everything I've heard you say.
Then
so
why don't you tell me?
Completely
why don't you,
nuts.
Why,
I mean,
why?
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, why would somebody go to all that trouble just to, like, cover something up?
When you stop to consider that this was the largest money-making musical group in the history of recording music, and when you stop to consider that the death of one of those members would have meant the end to the gravy train for a whole lot of people, it only stands to reason that they would want to cover up the death of this man.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to turn that radio down, pal.
Okay, sorry.
Turn it down.
All right.
So you're saying that Paul McCartney's death was covered up so that the Beatles could continue making money?
Absolutely. What else do you think it would be?
Well, why would they have continued?
All right. So somebody just turned your radio back. Somebody just turned your radio back up after I asked you to turn it down. Okay.
No, I turned it down. It's down all the way.
All right. So what was your question? I'm sorry. I thought I heard.
Well,
I don't know. I'm hearing things.
Like,
I'm hungover.
Why would they have kept on with the charade for so long? I mean,
well,
everything he has been saying sounds about as crazy as, you know, saying that maybe they just gave Linda McCartney cancer to kill her off so she wouldn't talk.
No, they didn't. They didn't kill Linda McCartney. I believe she's in cover. I believe she's dropped out of sight. I think that she got tired of perpetrating the fraud. I think that they have quieted her down so she won't say anything. But you will note, I mean, the group broke up in 1970. And I believe the group broke up because the new Paul McCartney, the imposter, got tired of being in the group. And he wanted to break the group up.
So the guy who broke up the group was the imposter Paul McCartney?
I believe so, yes.
The evil Paul McCartney?
I wouldn't call him evil. I would say that he's good. I think he tried in his way to let people know that Paul was dead and that this whole thing was a charade.
Well, why couldn't they just go in front of a news conference and say, Paul McCartney is dead?
Mister, if you know anything about covert operations as I do, because I've been around United States government agencies most of my professional life, let me just say this. You don't go out and make statements like that.
Well, what's going to happen? Are they going to get killed?
I believe they could have been terminated, yes.
Terminated by who? Terminated by Capitol Records? What is all of a sudden Capitol Records is the CIA? That Apple Records is the CIA? Terminated by who?
When you have that much money involved in an operation the size of the Beatles, they were generating millions and millions of dollars. And
no, I understand they were generating a lot of money. But you're telling me that the generation of that much money meant that the Beatles were going to be killed if they said Paul McCartney was dead?
I think when you're threatening to cut off somebody's gravy train, my man, you better believe it. There you go.
Well, I tell you what, I think this is all just crazy, so I'm going to go ahead and get out of here and just give a what up to my friend Johnny Boy. I know he's listening, so y'all have a nice evening.
And Johnny Boy's a fag, by the way.
Why did you say that?
Because I got tired of listening to his friends talking to him in the background.
Okay. Our number is 1-800-4... Johnny Boy. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Don here. He is... has uncovered evidence that he thinks points to the fact that Paul McCartney is dead. This attack on George Harrison, do you think this has anything to do with Paul McCartney being dead?
I don't know. I have no idea. That would only be speculation on my part. This sounds like some kook. But I will tell you this. I think it's very, very, very suspicious that you've got one of the Beatles has been murdered already. You had another attempt on a Beatles' life last night. You've got all this evidence pointing to the fact that Paul McCartney is dead. And then the only guy left would be who?
The only guy left would be Ringo Starr.
Absolutely. Just about the dumbest one of the four. You leave the dumb guy alive. You got to take out the three smart ones. You leave the dumbass alive, and the dumbass, what does he know? What's he going to do?
Well, Ringo Starr could blow the lid off of this thing, too.
I don't think he would. I think Ringo Starr is aware of the fact that this is a highly covert operation and that there has been some tremendously strange things going on around this. So it blows me away. It completely blows my mind. And that, of course, is also a lyric in one of their songs. He blew his mind out in a car. That's in A Day in the Life. Maybe the dumbass might even be behind it. I don't know.
Well, sure, you're not going to tell me you think Ringo Starr is behind killing John Lennon, the attack on George Harrison, and the fact that Paul McCartney is dead.
It's hard for me to think that that dumbass could engineer anything like that. Okay? But I'm just telling you, with John Lennon out of the way, Paul McCartney out of the way, and an attempt on the life of George Harrison, that dumbass Ringo would be the only one left. Okay? So that's the point that I'm trying to make.
All right, we're talking here with Don. He believes that Paul McCartney is dead. Among the clues that he gives at the end of Strawberry Fields Forever, "I Buried Paul" is heard. In the song Glass Onion, John says, "Here's another clue for you all, the walrus was Paul." And then on Revolution Number 9, if you back that up and play it backwards, it says, "Turn me on, dead man." Here is Charlotte on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Fine.
That guy's ridiculous. I mean,
well,
why would Linda McCartney and his kids, their kids, put up with an imposter?
Well, his kids were not born. The real Paul McCartney was dead before these current kids were born. That's number one. Number two, money can make a whole lot of things go away, my friend.
Okay, so
you pay somebody enough money, and they'll, I think they'll do just about anything you ask them to do.
Okay, so what about the fifth Beatle?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about there.
You never heard of the fifth Beatle?
Who's that, you?
No, but there was a fifth Beatle.
Are you talking about Stuart Sutcliffe?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Well, you don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, there was a fifth Beatle.
No, there wasn't. There's only four.
There was Stuart Sutcliffe, who was in the band before they came back to Liverpool. He was beat up and killed and then he died in Germany.
Yeah, how about that, pal? You didn't know that, did you?
But there was a fifth Beatle, but he was...
Yeah, we got it already.
He was the one before.
The one before, right. And you don't believe Paul's dead and you're laying this on me? Come on.
No, there was a fifth Beatle. All right, thanks for your call. There was a fifth Beatle, but he was way before the Beatles ever came to America. His name was Stuart Sutcliffe, and then they had Pete Best, right?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell either one of you guys is talking about.
Pete Best? Never mind. Here's Fort Lauderdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm wondering why, if they went to such great lengths to cover up the fact that he's dead.
Right.
Why did they leave? Why did they go to equal lengths to give so many clues that he is dead?
Because I think that the Beatles are not behind this. I think the record company was behind it. I think the Beatles are trying to let the audience know what's going on.
So the Beatles, against the will of the record company, were trying to leak information?
Trying to leak information to the fan base, yes.
Oh.
And that's why I'm saying, why don't they just go ahead and say, you know, Paul is dead?
Like I said, money can do a lot of things.
So somebody's paying the Beatles. How much money could you pay the Beatles? They're worth so much bloody money. How much money could you possibly pay those guys? How much more money do they need? You could say to them, hey, if you guys keep quiet about Paul, we'll pay you this much money.
Well, you have to understand, the Beatles got relatively small royalties from their albums. They were not as rich as people thought they were. The record company got a lot of royalties. I'm sure Mr. Epstein made out very well. But the Beatles themselves did not have a very good deal with the royalties. They only made a few pennies on every album.
Well,
they certainly could use the money.
If they're making that little, then why didn't they just say something?
Because they're being paid to keep quiet.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-800-449. I got to tell you something. All this stuff you're laying out here tonight, sir, sounds goofy and strange, and yet, like the one caller said, you got an answer for everything, don't you?
Well, you're presented with as much evidence as I have uncovered over the course of the last 10 years. I don't have to search for answers. I have answers at my fingertips here. I believe Paul McCartney's dead.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Show at 1-800-449-8686. 866. Don is on the line from West L.A., and we're talking about his belief that Paul McCartney is dead based on all these clues on albums and in music. And all of this, of course, hot on the heels of this very disturbing news about the attack on George Harrison. 1-800-449-8686, Fontana on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Yes. Phil Henry, Paul McCartney is not dead. You cannot have two people alike. There's no way you could do it.
Excuse me, ma'am, but you're wrong.
No, and yeah. They would have it
no.
Where,
it's they, very
like
simple.
Phil Henry said,
believe me,
you would have it over, like on the news and stuff like that.
Why wouldn't they come out and admit this? Why wouldn't the four Beatles come out and admit it?
Excuse me, I worked in the United States Intelligence Agency for a long time. You can get doubles. You can get people that look like other people. Believe you me, where there's a will, there's a way. And it's been done countless times in the covert intelligence areas of government. They can certainly do it. Plastic surgery takes care of an awful lot. So I don't know what you're talking about, lady, but believe me, it can be done.
No, it can't.
Well, I'm coming from 30 years experience working in the United States Intelligence Agency.
And the clues that you have...
I'm not coming from 30 years
they have a lot of different things.
Pushing a broom over Popeye's fried chicken or something.
The song, the words in the song, doesn't mean anything.
I buried Paul. What do you think that means?
Huh?
I buried Paul. That's in one of the songs.
That's just words. That's just a part of the song. That's just lyrics.
Oh, it doesn't mean anything.
No, it don't.
Well... Yes, it does, ma'am. Lyrics, for instance, when the Beatles sang She Loves You, yeah, 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 that means nothing?
Well...
Did you ever see Bewitched, the TV show?
Well, that's... Yes, but that's not
Nobody
real.
Knew about that switch. Nobody knew about that switch, did they?
That is not real. That is stuff that is made up.
When... lady...
You think that a real person could just twitch her nose and make things happen? I don't think so. I don't think that really can happen.
All right, thanks for your call. 1-800, so the lady obviously has been drinking. 1-800-449-8686. Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, my question is, how long is it going to take this guy to realize that the record companies do this kind of stuff so that nutcases like this will latch on and then they'll cause a big controversy?
The record company is doing what kind of stuff?
Making up all this kind of stuff about the Walrus is Paul and all this kind of stuff.
They didn't do that. That was a lyric written by John Lennon.
Right.
Okay.
And the only
reason
that they do that is
the record company
wacko
didn't do that.
People will latch on to this, and then they'll just cause more controversy, making up ridiculous assumptions like this.
Sir, again, I have to remind you and the other listeners that I come from 30 years' experience in United States intelligence. I know.
The United States intelligence is now in the record-making business.
No, but I know
They're
how these things are done.
They're in the marketing business,
no,
too?
Sir,
is that what you're saying?
No, sir, I'm saying I know how these, things, I know how these things are done. I know how these things are done.
So
that's what I'm telling
what's
you.
Your actual position in the...
Well, my actual position...
In whatever, the military or whatever.
I'm afraid that that's classified. But I will tell you that I know how these things are done. I've seen it done. You can get it. Body doubles, imposters, all kinds of things. Paul McCartney died in an automobile accident. It could have been a chemical explosion. There are a lot of clues that point to that.
So if he did die in
a chemical explosion?
Accident, where are the records that show that?
Well, now, that's something that was very...
Isn't there going to be a tombstone or something?
No, not necessarily, no. You don't have to put a tombstone. You don't have to have any records at all.
So what, did they freeze his body
Forgive
and
me, sir.
Holding it for a secret government?
You could certainly cremate the body. Forgive me, sir, but your questions are pretty basic. I mean, if you just...
1-800-449-8686. Boy, those people in Charlotte, just as predictable as ever. Here's Arcadia on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? No, not Arcadia? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is this Arcadia?
No, it is Mike.
It's Mike?
No, it is Mike. Yeah, this is Mike from Charlotte. I'm just here relaxing, listening to your show. You need to get that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry's show here. So what we're talking about here is Paul McCartney and the death of John Lennon and a knife getting plunged into George Harrison's chest. And your belief that McCartney is dead based upon I Buried Paul.
That's right. And if you listen to the lyrics, then certainly you can understand that there is a correlation there. And I come from 30 years in the defense intelligence, and as I said, it could either be an automobile accident, or it most likely was a chemical explosion of some kind.
A chemical explosion?
I believe that there is some definite evidence pointing to that, yes, sir. And I will tell you that in my experience in the defense agency, working with defense intelligence as I did, they can do anything. And a lot of these people you got calling up are asking some pretty basic questions. And I think that they are very, very, very deluded if they don't think this kind of thing can happen.
All right, well, I tell you something. This is coming up some 30-plus years after the death of Paul McCartney, or supposed death of Paul McCartney, where you are all of a sudden discovering all of this stuff. And this coming up some 30-plus years after the breakup of the group, it doesn't make any difference now, does it? I mean, who is going to care and who is going to really worry if Paul McCartney is dead or not? People are getting money. The beneficiaries of the wealth of the imposter Paul McCartney, they're obviously getting their money. The sons that this man had with Linda McCartney, she must be getting paid. You're telling me she's getting paid. You got, Ringo Starr's obviously making some money. So what difference does it make if Paul McCartney's dead or not?
Well, I mean,
what difference does it make?
Well, the idea that... You know,
what? No, seriously, answer my question. What difference does it make if the guy is dead or not? Considering the fact that they went on, they had a career, the Wings band took off, Linda McCartney may be dead, she may not be dead, it doesn't make any difference, she's getting paid according to you, and the other Beatles are getting their money. So what difference does it make?
Well, I don't know. I guess it doesn't make any difference at all. And I've spent 10 years going through this stuff, too.
10 years, huh?
Yeah. So now you're telling me it doesn't make any difference. I guess it doesn't. And that pisses me off, too. So there's a lot of things that piss me off about this. The fact that Paul's dead, the fact that no one cares, and the fact that it doesn't make any difference. All that stuff combines to piss me off.
And you spent 30 years in the defense intelligence, didn't you?
30 years, yeah. And I never once got as pissed off as I am now. Well,
want to go now?
Yeah, I guess I would. I'm awfully sorry.
That's okay. Bye.
By the way, where can I get a copy of your CD?
Yeah, online, philhenryshow.com.
It's $20.
$23.50.
All right, thanks a lot.